You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All rise.
Welcome to the Cyber Law and Business Report. Get the top story on the hot button internet legal topics of the day. This is your home for the latest on internet law and policy. Hear the latest net trends impacting business and have your questions answered right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report. Now, please welcome your host, the founder of the Internet Law Center, Bennett Kelly.
Good morning. This is Bennett Kelly. You're listening to Cyber Law and Business Report. We're broadcasting live from the Internet Law Center here in sunny Santa Monica in the heart of Silicon Beach. Please be seated. Check us out on the web at internetlawcenter.net. And we got a great show for you today. And as usual, we have background on our show available with our show notes, which are available at cyberlawradio.wordpress.com. And we actually have a special backgrounder as well on Saudi Arabia on connected to the show notes. So we have two posts related to today. And today's an important show because we highlight a very important issue. Imagine posting a blog and not only getting, as you might in the United States, get some bad feedback or get a troll here or there. But instead, imagine going to jail for 10 years and having to endure 1,000 lashes at a rate of 50 per session. And just imagine that. And as insane as that may sound, it is actually a real-life case. And our guest today is going to talk about that. We're lucky to have with us, from calling in from Jerusalem, Brandon Silver, and he's the Director of Projects at the Raoul Wallenberg Center for Human Rights. Brandon, can you hear us?
Hello, Bennett. Well, thank you for having us and for highlighting Raif's just case and cause on your program. As you mentioned, I'm in the midst of Middle Eastern work meetings between Jerusalem, Cairo, Amman, but we're working to build international coalition for Raif, and your interest and the engagement of your listeners is an integral part of that.
And so for those who may be unfamiliar with, one, the work of the Raoul Wallenberg Center, and two, just the historic, you know, nature of who Raoul Wallenberg was and how he was one of the great heroes of the 20th century, tell us about that.
Well, Bennett, as you mentioned, Raoul Wallenberg was named by the United Nations. They described him as the greatest humanitarian of the 20th century.
Wow.
And that's because in World War II, he had been posted to Budapest as a diplomat on behalf of Sweden. And at the time, the Holocaust was raging. The Nazis had deported some 400,000 Hungarian Jews, this is already by July 1944, deported to Auschwitz in the span of 10 weeks. The fastest, cruelest, and most efficient mass murder of the Nazi genocide. Yet Wallenberg, one person, a non-Jewish Swedish diplomat, stood up and spoke out, and through the issuing of Schutzpasses, protective passports, and of protective safe havens, He single-handedly saved over 100,000 Jews in the span of 6 months, more than any government combined, which ultimately goes to show that one person with the compassion to care and the courage to act can confront injustice, prevail, and transform history. So that's why our center is named after Raoul Wallenberg. It's a powerful message. But also, what many don't know is that Raoul Wallenberg himself, while he saved so many, he was not saved by so many who could have. After the Soviets had invaded, he was disappeared into the gulags, never to be heard from again. So we also advocate on behalf of political prisoners whose release can have a transformative effect on their societies and the world.
And tell us about more about your work. Who has founded this organization, and how is it that you came to be? Because you're not in Sweden, you're in Canada.
Of course. We're a Canadian-based organization. Raoul Wallenberg happens to be an honorary citizen of Canada, but we were founded by Erwin Kotler, the former Minister of Justice and Attorney General of Canada, who had been a champion for political prisoners and human rights throughout his lifetime, and continues to do so today, including notably cases of including Nelson Mandela, Andrei Sakharov, considered the father of modern human rights movement, the former Soviet dissident. So anchored in the humanitarian life and legacy of Raoul Wallenberg, we have a couple of prongs to our mission. As I mentioned, the pursuit of justice more broadly underpins that, but we seek freedom for political prisoners, and we also pursue the protection and promotion of democracy, both in free societies, so promoting a human rights foreign policy that our country should be taking the right positions internationally, and the promotion of inclusion, the combating of racism, and honoring, again, the lessons and legacy of Raoul Wallenberg within all of that. And obviously, now, those political prisoners... Yeah, of course, Bennett, sorry.
No, I mean, I'm really glad you highlighted that fact and your founder and his legal history, because you mentioned Nelson Mandela. And when I was thinking about today's show and Rife's situation, I recall that there was a time when there were people calling for to free Nelson Mandela, and the reaction was that's in, you know, good luck with that. You know, there's no way the apartheid regime is ever going to let him go. You know, he's a threat to their very existence. It will never happen. And, you know, people like Stevie Wonder and others, they said, no, release him. And then there were protests at the South African embassy. And then there were sanctions. And then it was always, and then. And one thing built upon itself till one day. I still remember that Sunday when he was released and had his first steps towards freedom. And 5 years later, he's the president of the country. And it's unthinkable. It was unthinkable 10 years earlier, but it happened. And we are talking about Raouf Badawi, who will explain how it is he got into prison and the nature of his case. And, you know, it may seem unthinkable, but it's not if people think it. And that's what you and so many other people have done to bring attention to this case. And that's why I wanted to have you on this show, because I want people to think about freeing Raouf Badawi. So let's talk about how... let's talk about his background. Tell me about his blog and how it was that he came into the Saudi legal system.
Well, of course, but you mentioned Nelson Mandela, Bennett, and that's really an incredible, amazing story, but happily not exceptional. And Raouf Badawi, others like him, can have the same transformative effect as Nelson Mandela. The story of Nelson Mandela exemplifies why we should pursue freedom for political prisoners. And that's why, Bennett, it's so important that you're highlighting Raif's case and that your listeners are engaged and hearing about it, because Raouf, in advocating for freedom for human rights, was facing similar persecution. And you asked a bit about his case. He simply sought to exercise rights that are ostensibly guaranteed under Saudi law and for which we take for granted in our societies, namely the right to freedom of expression. And for that, he faced oppression. For blogging, he faced flogging. He was already administered 50 of his 1,000 lashes that he was sentenced to, a sentence of 10 years in prison and of what amounts to close to $300,000 of fines, all for simply starting a blog, speaking his mind, and advocating things that are now being implemented today. Equality for women, the right to drive, the opening of movie theaters. Just now they were, having a screening of Black Panther. Those are all things that he had called for, but for which he faced those grievous punishments.
And that's what's really interesting and astounding about his case. I mean, we're talking about a 10-year sentence and torture for, it's not like he's calling for the overthrow of the government. It's not like he's debasing Islam or in any form. All he's asked for in his post, and then there's some samples in the blog and the show notes, is for tolerance, is to enable some sort of political pluralism and to be respectful of people's right to choose their religion freely. And granted, maybe we should put this in context. In terms of our, especially the United States, in terms of our allies, Saudi Arabia is probably the least tolerant country among our allies. And its fundamental Sunni Islam version of Islam, known as Wahhabism, is very strict and doesn't tolerate any other religion. And here you have someone who just merely said, we have to be respectful of other religion. We have to be tolerant, and he's been imprisoned. It just seems astounding.
Well, Raif is a real hero, as you said, within that broader context of repression and of the conservatism of the clerical elite. He had the courage to stand up and speak up on behalf of his fellow citizens and on behalf of values, universal values that are universally cherished, freedom of expression, pluralism, equality. And for that, he faces those grievous punishments. And we're very encouraged to see that there's a new Saudi leadership that are pursuing those types of reforms that Raif himself had advocated on behalf of. So we're hopeful that with these changes, Raif will hopefully be released, because that's the natural progression and the only logical conclusion. If you are genuine about those reforms that you're pursuing, then the champion of those same changes should be released.
And just to put this in context, for those who may be unfamiliar with the case, it is not as if this just happened. He was first detained in 2008, 10 years ago, and prevented from leaving the country. And then he was arrested in 2012 on charges of insulting Islam through electronic channels and cited for apostasy, which is a crime that has an automatic death sentence. 2013, convicted and sentenced to 7 years in prison and 600 lashes. And then he has the sentence increased to 10 years and 1,000 lashes in 2014. And and so he has been languishing in prison now for how long?
Yeah, so we're nearing the sixth anniversary of his imprisonment. He was first arrested in 2012, as you mentioned. It's really an egregious case that, shakes the soul. And I think it's not only doing that for his fellow Saudis who are facing this kind of oppression, who happen to have the highest rates for use of new technologies, for use of social media. So what message does Raif's imprisonment send to those young Saudis, sends to those from abroad who Saudi Arabia is encouraging to invest and visit? What message does that send them about those sorts of basic rights and basic technologies that they seek to use? And it's having a broad international resonance. If you look around the world, Raif is probably one of the most celebrated prisoners of conscience in the world today. He's received scores of honorifics and human rights awards. And there is a broad and inclusive global coalition seeking his freedom, incorporating both grassroots and governments.
So there's two important events that happened in 2015. And the first is in early 2015, he is subject to 50 lashes in front of a mosque in Jeddah. And can you explain to our listeners what 50 lashes does to a human being?
Well, Bennett, it's something that, you know, can't even be articulated. Raif already had pre-existing medical conditions, and to exercise such inhumane and inhuman persecution of someone simply for speaking their mind on anybody, it is illegal, but especially for a hero like Raif. And may I add, it is in violation of Saudi Arabia's own laws and obligations. Under the United Nations Convention on Torture, which they've ratified, such punishments are prohibited. Under the Arab Charter for Human Rights, those kinds of punishments are prohibited. So in their treatment of Raif, they're demonstrating a failure and corruption of rule of law in Saudi Arabia, and again, of such horrid treatment of a upstanding citizen. And I think that's something that's alarming for Saudis, and that's alarming for anybody of conscience around the world. And I think that's why you're seeing such a broad outcry across the globe calling for it to be ended, for clemency to be granted. And that sort of citizen action is what led to the lashes being stopped. He was sentenced, unbelievably, to 1,000 lashes, which could very well lead to death. It's death through torture. But the only 50 of those lashes had been administered thanks to intense public engagement to see it stopped. And I believe that with continued public engagement, we can see Raif free.
And he was supposed to go for 20 consecutive Fridays of 50 lashes each Friday. And it was stopped, you know, one, because of his health, he could not withstand the next set of lashes, but also because of the international outcry, and that was very important. Now, another critical event in 2015 is there's a change in the Saudi regime, and you have the current king assuming the throne and giving the reins to his son, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who is starting to push Saudi Arabia in the last year or so towards arguably a more moderate position in the world, and has taken steps such as permitting women to drive, which I think may not have gone into effect yet, but will soon, permitting women to go to soccer games, allowing them to vote in certain elections, and certain other, you know, liberalizations, including, as you mentioned, you know, allowing cinema in Saudi Arabia for the first time. And the much heralded Black Panther was the very first movie screened in Saudi Arabia in, I think, 30 years. All of these things are things that Raif Badawi had called for. And so on one hand, you have 2015, this kind of symbol of the extreme dark ages, and then there's a change in regime that seems like they're trying to at least catch up to the 19th century, and if not the 20th, but Raif's still in jail.
Well, what we're advocating, and what the world, and wherever the prince goes, I believe he's encountering these messages that, in his own words, if he's seeking a moderate Islam, or if I quote, seeking to for Saudis to lead normal lives where their religion and traditions translate into tolerance, then the champion of those changes, who is a champion of liberalism, who said, for me, liberalism simply means live and let live, end quote. It seems like there's a bit of a parallel in what they were both saying and pursuing, yet one is free to travel the world and tout those changes, while the other languishes in a Saudi prison recovering from torture and lashings. Now, there seems to be quite a dissonance there. So if the Saudi leadership and the Crown Prince wants to be taken seriously about his commendable initiative of reforms, he must free Raif. Now, seeking freedom for Raif is not only the right thing, it's the smart thing. Now, many people are alleging variety of considerations and reasons for the pursuit of these reforms, and whatever they may be, Raif Badawi will help advance those interests. His freedom will be a cause for celebration around the world. And whether it's in their pursuit of greater investment in Saudi Arabia, Raif's release would demonstrate greater respect for rule of law, which serves as a protection for those kinds of investments. Whether it's pursuit of their regional strategic interests, again, releasing Raif would end a major distraction and blot on their human rights record and allow them to refocus on those areas that they're seeking to pursue. Ultimately, those very same reforms they are seeking to implement, Raif had initially initiated and put on the radar for Saudis and Saudi Arabia. So this is just a logical progression. Releasing Raif is what they must do if they are to be taken seriously.
Well, we certainly hope that will be the case, but we're going to talk about this more after these messages. You're listening to Cyber Law and Business Report, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Stay tuned for more of the Cyber Law and Business Report after this brief recess for our sponsors.
AM Days 2018 comes to Las Vegas, May 16th and 17th. Register now at amdays.com. Make the most of your performance marketing with help from some of the most iconic brands, including Microsoft, Capital One, Uber, Backcountry, and many more. AM Days 2018 brings together a powerhouse of industry leaders and dealmakers to network and share insights on the latest practices and cutting-edge updates in performance marketing and more. Make plans to be in Las Vegas for our landmark 10th event, AM Days 2018 Las Vegas, May 16th and 17th. Webmaster Radio listeners can save 20% on two-day and combo passes using promo code WMR20. Register now at amdays.com.
Looking for a better way to get more traffic and interaction to your Facebook page? Imagine Facebook interactivity on your page like you've never seen. Introducing your new Facebook marketing fix, ZoSocial, the new and revolutionary way to easily manage and automate your Facebook contests and sweepstakes. Create a fun, easy-to-win contest by writing a simple Facebook post. Watch your post go more viral and generate loads of interaction. Track your traffic and generate email lists with ease. ZoSocial is mobile-friendly and complies with Facebook terms of service. Let ZoSocial give your Facebook page some flash today. Zoom over to ZoSocial.com.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
The best gavel-to-gavel legal news and information on the net is right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report, only on webmasterradio.fm.
And we're back, and we're talking about the amazing case of Raif Badawi, and we're talking with one of his lawyers, Brandon Silver. And tell us how it is that you came to represent Raif.
Well, as you had mentioned earlier, I'm a part of the team at the Raoul Wallenberg Center for Human Rights, which, as part of its mission, has taken up the cases and causes of political prisoners whose release can transform the world. And Ensaf Haidar, Raif's wife, and his children, Najwa, Mariam, and Dodi, had fled Saudi Arabia and eventually ended up as refugees in Canada. Considering we're based in Montreal, and Safa and her children were living only a couple hours away and had approached us about Raif's case. And of course, the justness of his cause spoke out to us as it has spoken out to so many others around the world. And we committed to do whatever we could to see Raif free.
And tell us about her. I mean, it's hard to convey over radio. You have to see her videos, in which there's a video on the show notes. But she seems like quite a remarkable person in herself.
Yeah, I mean, to champion a cause as a single mother raising three children, as refugees in a new country with a new language, with a new culture, and at the same time wage a global campaign against the unjust treatment of her husband, seeking his freedom, is really something that's quite admirable. And I think that's part of the reason why they've managed to build a broad and inclusive international movement. So beyond our own legal team, our Raoul Wallenberg Center for Human Rights has established a political prisoner advisory board that consists of some of the most notable former political prisoners who advise on elements of strategy on the case. That includes Mohamed Nasheed, the former president of the Maldives and a political prisoner there who's now in exile. That includes Saad Eden Ibrahim, an Egyptian public intellectual, human rights activist, and former political prisoner, and others like them. It also includes our center has established an international legal advisory board that's composed of former ministers of justice and attorney generals from around the world and former Supreme Court justices. So from the standpoint of advocacy and strategy, we've got an all-star team. And from the standpoint of international advocacy, working in partnership with ENSAF and others, there's been a broad coalition, again, including civil society organizations, both regionally, such as the Saudi Human Rights Monitoring Organization and the Gulf Center for Human Rights, and then internationally, such as Amnesty, such as Reporters Without Borders. And I know one of their directors, Margot Ewan, was on your show.
Yes.
And that's just from the civil society standpoint. And I could go on when it comes to high-level government intervention. Just yesterday, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had personally intervened. He picked up the phone, called the prince, called the king, and said, "You must release Raif." And he joins a chorus of international voices. President Macron, in his recent meeting with the prince, similarly called for Raif's release. And Bennett, I understand you've been involved in politics somewhat, so you understand the fractious nature of political discourse in our democracies. So it's really quite remarkable when you see that seeking freedom for Raif has been a point of unanimity. The Canadian Parliament unanimously called for his release. There's bipartisan American support in the Congress and Senate. The French Senate called for his release. And you have the European Parliament.
I'm glad you mentioned Sakharov. For those who aren't familiar, Andrei Sakharov was a nuclear physicist for the Soviet regime, part of their atomic development program, but ultimately became their most famous prisoner of conscience. And his dissident status ultimately led to the Helsinki Accords that established, the framework for human rights in the end of the Soviet era. So a very important person to highlight. And so that's a distinguished award to get. And he also will be named as part of the Los Angeles Press Club Awards this June. He will get the Daniel Pearl Award, which is named after the deceased journalist who was beheaded in Pakistan. And his family is based here in Los Angeles, wonderful people. But that award goes to a journalist who exhibits certain great courage in journalism, and past recipients have included Charlie Hebdo, for example. And so I was very thrilled to see the Los Angeles Press Club name him as a recipient. But you mentioned some of the actions we've seen, the leadership in your government, Justin Trudeau, calling out the Saudi government on this, and President Macron. And we have had efforts here in Congress. People have been trying to raise this issue. But there's a question. I have a question about United States leadership in this area. Saudi Arabia is the number one purchaser of American arms. Next to Canada, they're our second largest supplier of crude oil. And how would you assess the United States leadership position on human rights with respect to the Raif Badawi case?
Well, those elements that you mentioned, Bennett, can be leveraged, that kind of deep relationship that the United States has with Saudi Arabia can, should, and must be leveraged and emphasized to seek the release of Raif. Those core values of ours, freedom of expression, right to dissent, and just basic human dignity, demand that we take action. And those cases that you raised earlier, whether it be Sakharov, whether it be Mandela, their freedom was ultimately secured because of citizen action. And you see, at a grassroots level, mass expressions, solidarity, and action on behalf of Raif from the American people and from people around the world. And I think the leadership has taken note of that. If you look at the U.S. Congress, at the U.S. Senate, they feel a personal stake in Raif's case and cause. And again, that's a bipartisan element. Whether it's in the Congress with Democratic Representative Jim McGovern, chair of the Human Rights Commission, who said that he has personally adopted Raif and will not relent until he sees him free. And on the Republican side, Senator Marco Rubio said the same thing to NSAF. He said, "I will not stop until I see Raif free and out of prison for simply expressing his thoughts." Now, it's really something quite remarkable when you see congressmen and senators on both the Democratic and Republican side united in common cause seeking freedom for Raif.
Now, what we've seen liberalization in Saudi Arabia, there's been an argument that it has a commercial component. Allowing women to drive will enable them to work. It will enable, you know, it will stimulate commerce. They'll buy more cars. They'll spend more money, whatever. You know, same for motion pictures. Showing film, you know, it will bring entertainment or stimulate the economy, whatever. And so I think they're able to placate the fundamentalists to an extent on yielding on these points. But I haven't seen them yield on people who express a view that is disfavored by the fundamentalists. And Raif being one. In addition, there's a kid who just merely protested against the government when he was 16 and he's been sentenced to crucifixion. It hasn't been carried out yet, but you know, just the mere act of protest, that alone could get a crucifixion, which is just astounding in this modern age. You know, they haven't moved away from that.
Yeah, those are really shock the conscience when you hear of cases and punishments of such a nature. Now, I'm hopeful that with the stated reforms, with the public statements that have been made, and those incremental, as you said, it's not nearly enough, but it's a move in the right direction, that that will continue to move forward apace, and that we won't see these types of punishments, these types of imprisonments. Until then, we have to continue doing as we must and as we should in keeping the pressure on the Saudi government to release heroes like Raif, heroes like his lawyer, Walid Abu Al-Khair, who had been a champion of human rights monitoring and was defending prisoners of conscience and those unjustly targeted, like the case you had mentioned. So we must be sure to stand up and speak out in favor of those human rights defenders who are targeted simply for pursuing justice and for pursuing those norms that Saudi Arabia ostensibly protects. Now, it bears reminding that Saudi Arabia domestically has a constitution and certain protections that it states it affords its citizens, and has ratified international conventions. Now, those international conventions not only have domestic obligations, but have mutual obligations amongst the signatories. So it's not only a right or moral imperative, it is a legal obligation for states that have signed it, Canada, all those European states that have spoken out to take action, to legally to politically, in every possible avenue, stand up for those people who are being persecuted in violation of their treaty obligations. Now, another point, you mentioned the economic components. And the prince has said in his Vision 2030 platform and campaign that he's seeking to raise foreign direct investment to 5.7% of GDP. He's seeking and encouraging foreign business entrepreneurship and investment in his country. But the type of imprisonment and repression that he engages in sends the message that the protections of constitution and contract will not be respected. So why should anybody pursue those investments that are a Saudi strategic priority if they could easily be treated with the same arbitrariness that Raif Badawi or that young teenager who you referenced are being treated with? So I think improvement in rule of law, improvement in human rights standards and treatment on Raif Badawi in particular, but for Saudis in general, will actually help advance those strategic goals that the prince has espoused, even those with the economic components that he referenced.
And you have done, I think, a good job in being shrewdly making this point to the Crown Prince, because I first came across you in your piece along with Mr. Badawi's wife in Time magazine, where basically you said, hey, if you really are serious about, you know, moderating and liberalizing the Saudi regime, let's start by releasing Raif.
Well, that's exactly the goal, Bennett. And especially with cases like these that, as we were just discussing, face great obstacles in terms of domestic juridical norms, protection of rule of law and the like, often that means that our advocacy cannot only be in the courthouse, it must also be in the court of public opinion. So in that regard, we've been trying to sensitize the public and galvanize a global movement to seek the freedom of Raif. Obviously, that article in Time magazine was a part of that larger struggle. Similarly, that was on the prince's tour of the United States to highlight the point that it is in his own interest, in the self-interest of Saudi Arabia, to release Raif. And then when he arrived in France, that very same article was published in Marianne magazine, which is the Time of France. It was published in French there. Ensaf, Raif's wife, wrote an op-ed in Le Monde, which is France's version of the New York Times. You had journalists from France 24, their version of CNN, covering Raif. So basically, when the prince arrived, every newsstand was covered with articles and op-eds about Raif. When he arrived to go meet Macron in the seat of government, you had French senators raising the case saying Raif must be released. You had President Macron himself calling for Raif to be released. So you see this critical mass of public advocacy in France, but everywhere else the prince goes. And it's not just exclusive to the political realm, which is incredibly important, but it's cross-sectional and multifaceted, whether it's in business, whether it's in human rights, whether it's in the media. Every sector is calling for Raif to be free. And ultimately, I'm optimistic that it'll reach that tipping point soon, because the prince and Saudi Arabia cannot pursue its strategic priorities in the face of Raif's unjust imprisonment. While they want to talk about investment, while they want to talk about Qatar or Iran, everybody else is talking about Raif. So they have to release Raif and change the direction of the conversation if they're going to successfully pursue their strategic interests.
Now, your piece closes. Ultimately, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has full authority to grant clemency. When he releases the list of pardons in advance of Ramadan next month, the Crown Prince should take the opportunity to propel his agenda forward both within Saudi Arabia and across the globe by freeing Raif Badawi, allowing him to join in Quebec, Canada, his wife, Ansaf. So, Brandon, is Ramadan really your focal point at this moment?
Well, I see Raif's case reaching a tipping point. You've got mass public outcry, whether in Saudi Arabia or around the world. You've got now a new Saudi leadership pursuing reforms, saying they want a new liberal kingdom. So the champion of those same values, of those same changes, should be released. And Ramadan is an opportune moment to do so, as they traditionally grant clemency to prisoners at that time. And Bennett, the reason I'm so optimistic is because my mentor and the founder of our center, Erwin Kotler, who's leading the case, once explained, you know, at what point you can pursue the release of a political prisoner. When does it reach that tipping point where they're finally freed? And he had shared a story with me, if I may, an anecdote of when he was serving as counsel to Sakharov, who we discussed earlier, and his colleague, Natan Sharansky, both human rights activists in the Soviet Union. And eventually, Professor Kotler was on a panel many years later with Mikhail Gorbachev, the former premier of the Soviet Union. And he had asked him, you know, what role his advocacy, if at all, had played in their eventual release, that building of that global movement. And Gorbachev had said, at the time of their imprisonment, he was Minister of Agriculture. And wherever he would go around the world, when he would seek to discuss farming, growing of tomatoes, whatever it may be, they would always, before starting the conversation, say, firstly, we want to hear about that political prisoner in the Soviet Union. Whenever Gorbachev would go to a press conference, before the journalist would let him speak about agriculture, they would ask him about the political prisoners. So he said that when he got back to the Soviet Union, he called for this file to be brought up because he hadn't even heard of these political prisoners who were part of a global movement for their release. And he had their file called up and said, well, they haven't really done something so dangerous. They're just troublemakers. It is in our own self-interest. And that's the key word. He said, it's in our own self-interest to pursue our strategic priorities to simply have those political prisoners released. That way we could get on with what we're trying to accomplish. And I think we're very near to that point for Raif Badawi in Saudi Arabia. And a parallel anecdote is that recently, when they were pursuing that policy of blockading Qatar and seeking to end their support for terrorism, Saudi Arabia and its Gulf allies convened a major press conference in Canada's national capital of Ottawa to call for Canada and Canadians to intervene in favor of their actions. Now, instead of the message of their campaign resonating, every journalist at the press conference was asking about Raif instead. So they had to abandon their advocacy on Qatar and instead talk about Raif's unjust imprisonment. Now, the same holds true for their efforts to counter Iranian influence in the region and beyond. Releasing Raif will simply allow them to focus on those issues that they care about to advance their strategic priorities. I think we're very near to that tipping point where they're realizing it's in their own self-interest to release Raif and move on with their priorities. And Ramadan is a propitious moment to do so.
Well, we have a propitious moment to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to wrap up with Brandon and talk about what you can do to help Raif after these messages. You're listening to Cyber Law and Business Report only on webmasterradio.fm.
Stay tuned for more of the Cyber Law and Business Report after this brief recess for our sponsors.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
The Web Marketing Association is now accepting entries for the 2018 International Web Award Competition. Web Marketing Award winners receive an image plaque, certificate of achievement, higher visibility for your company, valuable feedback from our expert judges, and links to your site from the highly ranked Web Award site. Visit www.webaward.org to nominate your company, site, or organization. Deadline for entries is May 31st, 2018. Go to www.webaward.org and sign up today.
St. Jude continues to advance by increasing cure rates in childhood cancer. And donors are important to us because you get the feeling that you have a team behind you. When it comes to research and advancements, there are some things that only we can do because we have the resources and we have the focus. And so if St. Jude doesn't do it, who will?
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
The best gavel-to-gavel legal news and information on the net is right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report, only on webmasterradio.fm.
And we're back, and we're talking with Brandon Silver, who's part of the team over at the Robin Wellenberg Center that's leading the fight to help free Raif Badawi. And it's really been a fascinating discussion. And one thing I think you make a good point as to why the Crown Prince should free Badawi, just because it allows him to talk about the things he wants to talk about. Because here's the deal. If people like me start looking at what's going on in Saudi Arabia and they find out about Raif, and then they find out about the other political prisoners, and then they start looking more closely about Yemen and the war crimes that are happening there, and then they start looking at maybe what's happening in Qatar, and you know, is that consistent with human rights? Or is that humanitarian? And I think it just shines a spotlight in an area that I don't think the Crown Prince wants people digging, and so I do think it would be propitious to take that action with Ramadan coming up in May. Now, we only have a little bit of time left. What can people do to help the cause? What can people, because a lot of our listeners are bloggers and they're involved in the web, what can they do to send the message that Raif Badawi has to be freed?
Well, Bennett, there's a lot that citizen action can accomplish. Now, you referenced the blogger community, and Raif's fellow bloggers were amongst the first to highlight his just case and cause and to bring it to the forefront of the public agenda. Whether it's as simple as a tweet or a blog post, writing a letter to a Democratic representative, whatever country you may be in, whether it's a parliamentarian, congressman, senator, shaping the public discourse and developments can play an integral role in building that critical mass of public outcry and public advocacy that tips the scales and sees Raif free.
And so we only have a few minutes left. If people want to find out more about you and your organization, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, we're on a variety of platforms. You can follow us on Twitter at Irwin Kotler, IRWINCOTLER. We're also on Facebook, Irwin Kotler, the Raoul Wallenberg Center for Human Rights. And in about a week or two, our new website is going to launch, rwchr.org, so you could check there. And we also have a newsletter which you could subscribe on through Facebook, and we'll be sure to send updates on Raif's developments in his case and on the other political prisoner files that we're working on. And again, we're named after Raoul Wallenberg because we truly believe that every individual, including every listener here on this show, can stand up, speak out, and transform the world. And there's a lot we can do to see Raif free with simple, meaningful actions.
There's a famous quote, one man can make a difference and every man should try. And I invite you to go to raifbadawi.org. They actually have a page, how you can help Raif. And there has Twitter addresses for the Saudi government, for the U.S. embassy and other consulates, etc. So make your voices heard. Let the world know that it's time to free Raif. Thank you very much, Brandon. It's been a pleasure having you. And join us next week for another edition of Cyber Law and Business Report right here on webmasterradio.fm. Check out our show notes at cyberlawradio.wordpress.com and follow us on Twitter at Cyber Law Radio. Have a great week, everyone. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.